Podtacular, episode 116, Interview Frenzy for the week of June 11th, 2007.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVP.
I'm Logan Payne.
Welcome, Logan Payne, the only guy I know that has Halo 2 Vista.
Yeah,
you know, when you think about
it's an honor.
When you think about that, isn't that kind of embarrassing, though? That we're one of the biggest Halo community websites and podcasts on the internet, and neither one of us got Halo 2 Vista. But that's only my opinion.
Well, Logan, tell me how many people were online in Halo 2 Vista yesterday when you told me about it.
I don't want to remember. Those were horrible.
Okay,
then how many total of?
Go ahead.
Of 48 servers were running, like 5 had people in them.
Wow. So what was the maximum amount in each server?
Well, there was one that I couldn't get in because it was full 16-16, but. It's just kind of sad when there's that few people on.
Yeah. Well, pretty much. I mean, so. Think about it. You know, millions of people have it on Xbox, and you need a pretty nice PC to play it. I mean, I don't know the specs of your PC, but I'm sure it's pretty up to date.
Well, this is technically not what it goes by, but it gives you like a helper number if you can't read all those numbers. It says your system should be a 1.0 or whatever. Required for Halo 3 is a 3.0 Windows Vista rating.
Halo
I have a
3.
4.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
They give you like a little number when they run it so that they tell what your system's capable of. They even have it on Solitaire, though. It's like, Solitaire needs a 1.0 to run. I feel sorry for that dork. It's like, I can't run Solitaire.
Oh, well, I got a 1.8. So,
a new video card.
Pretty soon I'm going to be that dork.
Solitaire is getting some frame rate issues.
So 3D chess is lagging.
Quickly, Logan. So you purchased this game. Did you purchase it right when it was out, when it was released?
I wanted to go on my 8th, and I got there and they had like recalled it because of the .ass error. And so I went in later, like on the 25th, few days after it was really released.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can you explain the dot ass error real quick?
Yeah.
In the H2VEK, the editor kit, there was an error message that apparently had a guy mooning the camera and says dot ass error in big letters. And
I guess it was
so like that was. They let the ESRB wanted partial nudity on the game for that to like warn people, but when you get on the internet, it patches with an update. So I don't know if they deleted it or just blocked access to it, but you can't get to it anymore. But because you in theory don't have to play it on the internet, put stickers on it, and now my computer is wearing that sticker that says this game is rated M for partial nudity.
Wow!
What an embarrassing mistake, man.
I know. It's not exactly hot coffee, but, I mean, it's still kind of embarrassing.
It's the dork that got Halo 2 Vista delayed. Come on. He's got to be immortalized somewhere.
Hey, so, by the way, before we go any further, I just wanted to mention that this show is the Interview Frenzy show where we're going to be talking with Logan Payne about Halo 2 Vista, the only guy I know that owns it, and we're also going to be talking about Tide the Leader, which is where it kind of an inside look at TideTheLeader.com, a Halo community that's one of the top Halo communities out there. And we're talking about their leadership, about kind of how they run things, and just kind of an inside look in the whole operation. So it's going to be cool. I got a variety of interviews from that, and you guys can check those out a little bit later on in the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, so Logan, being the legendary Halo 2 Vista owner that you are. give us a quick description of how long the whole process took to install the game and.
Oh, that's where I love this thing. When I put the CD in, it said, you can play it now and it'll install in the background. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I did hear about that feature. That is, that definitely kind of brings PC closer to the way consoles run. Back in the days, that was the one downfall of PC gaming, was that you had to wait, you know, for a long time for it to install. So that's nice.
25%. Man, I want to play!
Let me go to sleep. So, yeah. And then when you went on, did you go to multiplayer first, or you went to single player? I mean,
saw a junk... Well, first they made me sign the live, but the first thing I played was... the campaign, because I saw the achievements that I could have gotten. So I went through on Heroic and just played that again to see the experience.
Yeah.
The funny thing that happened, though, was I turned it on a high, and my maximum monitor resolution, I was like, yeah, this will run fine.
Yeah.
I had to turn it all down to a minimum, because my card ain't as great as I thought it was. But for, like, the one frame I did get of all the high quality, it looked really cool.
It was a slideshow.
Nice.
So are the players pretty skilled, or were they a bunch of noobs, you know, that you encounter?
I've had to talk to more people that are like, oh, well, I just got this game. How do I switch weapons? But besides that, they catch on real fast. And the thing with the mouse is, if you have a gamer mouse or just any mouse with a high sensitivity,
yeah,
sniping is... scary now, because like it's just headshot. There's no reason to pick up a battle rifle if you've got a good mouse in hand. So
yeah, and there lies the reason why we're not playing against them on the 360 right now.
Yeah, really.
I did try the controller for like a time to see how it did. You still get auto aim with the controller, but mice don't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because you don't need
it. We don't need it. We're superior to you when you're on a wing.
Aww. Awesome.
Well, cool, man.
So, yeah, there's a few of the members here. They actually wanted to know a few things. And they sent you some questions, Logan.
I'm so honored that I have an answer to, like, only three of them. And the rest are about the map editor.
Yeah. Well... I'm afraid I might call him Little Cook again. Cook. But Little Cook.
You call him Cook all the time, dude.
You call him like 10 times. Yeah, I know, man. Little Cook.
We got to get him a shirt that's got like a Master Chief and like a chef's hat.
It's a me, Little Cook.
With a freaking pot of spaghetti in the background. He goes, is there multiplayer?
Yes!
Okay. Then he says, actually, I had a few questions. Number two, is it just like Halo PC where you can mod vehicles and put new weapons in and stuff like that?
Is there? Well, I didn't try to mod my game, but I did notice one time, though, after I had changed some settings and the checkpoint in the campaign didn't revert like it wanted to. It said, live doesn't remember you using this checkpoint, so if you refuse to go back to a checkpoint we recognize you at, we're going to turn off achievements. So I guess it prevents you from modding to get achievement points.
Okay. And question number three, which you kind of mentioned before, is there a noticeable difference in the difficulty in campaign? For example, is normal easier on Vista than on Xbox or any other difficulty? Now, you did mention Heroic.
Yeah, Heroic, I was crying to my mommy, but normal, I'm finding it, it's about the same. I was just getting mad at the flood because I had an SMG, and I was like, oh, why don't you go down?
Leave me alone, please.
The lights, oh, by the way, the lights on later levels that you might have had an easy time with, I didn't change the gamma or the brightness settings, so the default on my computer, the dark areas were a lot darker, like when the power's out in high charity.
Yeah.
So I'm running around and Flood will be smacking me in the face. I'll be like, how'd you get there? Turn on the flashlight. Oh.
They're pulling you. They're stuff slapping you. All right, so I mean, is there, like, this is a question that I'm asking you now. Is there an achievement for completing the game on each level?
Like, there's, you get, easy? If you beat the map, I think, period, or maybe it doesn't work on easy, you get one for every level, and then when you beat the campaign on a consistent difficulty, like if you beat it all on normal, mm-hmm. There's not an achievement for beating it on easy. But at normal, you get 100, but if you beat it on heroic, you get the 50 for the heroic achievement and the 100 for the normal, and another 50 for beating legendary. So it comes out to a total of 200 if you beat legendary.
Wow. Okay.
Plus the level things, which are 30 per level, so.
So it sounds like you got some easy achievement points there.
Very easy. Oh, yeah. I'm reading them now. You cannot get a single gamer point for playing it on easy, not even the levels.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay.
So it's not like you're always going to get them.
Yeah, you were telling me you were on midship, and you came out of one multiplayer game, and you got 4 achievements on one game.
The multiplayer achievements are so funny, because like, I'll be like, stick somebody in the face, you got an achievement unlocked. I'll blow up a banshee, achievement unlocked. Double kill, achievement unlocked. Triple kill, achievement unlocked. God!
Wow.
I'm an achievement junkie. Cheap plug.
The only ones that like didn't reward me well were like the where you stick somebody. Yeah. That was only 5 gamers score, but one for kill an opponent that has the ninja achievement, 20 points. Kill the sword carrier after they kill 5 people, 20 points.
Dang.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Tell us a little bit about how multiplayer works. I understand there's more of kind of a PC-oriented like server architecture where it's not so much with like automatic matchmaking and custom games and stuff, but it's more of like a server client situation.
Yeah, there's a server browser now, and basically custom games are not really custom games anymore. It's just custom settings, and you look for a server with those custom settings. Like, for example, play with only gold-only players, or do you want to play on Zanzibar only, or whatever.
So, can you party up with people and search games?
You can join the same server, but I don't think there's a server hopping method, because they're not really uniform.
Oh, okay. Wow. Interesting.
So you said gold only. Now there's a differentiation between gold and silver Xbox Live accounts?
Yeah, I remember that now. Silver you get free because they don't want to get 1,000 screaming PC gamers that have to pay to play their PC games now. So they realized that would be bad. Everybody can get a silver account. They can use all the, I think, friends list functions of Live, and they get a little gamer card and everything, but they can't use that one to play on a 360, I think, unless you're using the same thing for silver.
Okay.
But if you wanted to, like, say, use Shadowrun to play cross-platform, gold is what you need.
So you can play silver against other PC players, but not against other Xbox players, right? You need gold to play against Xbox.
You would, but that doesn't work in Halo 2 Vista, so.
Right, but I mean, on
I don't even know why that is things there. Shadowrun, for instance, yeah. Because you're then adding stress to the Xbox Live end of the deal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So, pay up!
Yeah, well, I guess.
Stressing me out, man.
Yeah, it's stressing me out. I'm stressed. Cool. So,
we got more questions here. Go for it, man. Yeah.
Me?
Okay. Well, Babam the Grunt says, what is the online like in Halo 2 Vista? Does it feel the same to Halo PC? Well, you kind of answered that one.
Well, as a port, Halo 2 Vista is a lot better than Halo PC.
It handles
video cards a lot better, and there's even an option for HD TVs if you have one hooked up to your computer, called Safe Area Mode, so it doesn't put the HUD outside the screen.
Okay, cool. And then he goes, do you think the lockup of the Halo 2 Vista editing kit is a good thing? Sure, it will kill the off-true custom content, but it will stop noobs from making lame maps with nothing but nukes. But it comes off as a easy way. It comes off as being easy by locking off the truly fun stuff.
I think it's a map editor, not a game maker. So they kind of felt the need to lock it down.
What do you mean by locking it down?
I was about to say the same thing by locking
you
can't, down.
Exactly. Well, in Halo CE, you could. I remember playing a map that looked like New Mombasa, and they had the battle rifle and stuff. And there was even a map where they had turned the Banshee's model into one of those drop ships from Halo 1 that they escaped in. And you're flying this thing around with like five people in the background. And it says, press E to get into string entry here. Because people would just make this thing and not playtest it.
Oh, okay.
Well, those were the junkier maps, but...
Have you seen any really nice maps?
Have I seen any really nice... I haven't, honestly, downloaded any of the custom maps yet. But I have got a chance to play the Uplift and District, and they are fun.
Okay, cool.
Well, let's move on to some of the other... Go ahead.
He also asked, have you yourself tried to dabble with the Halo 2 Vista editing kit? Does it scare you? JK.
It still scares me. Yeah, that's right. I'm intimidated.
I know what you know what video I'm talking to, right?
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about, dude?
It was the video of Master Chief is stinking at Halo 2, the game.
Oh,
and he opens the door and a little action figure comes out and it's like that Microsoft Sam text-to-speech voice. Hi, I'm Master Chief. La 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 la.
Wow.
This is the suck sword. Yeah, it's like an action figure, and it's like a...
By the way, I have that action figure.
Yes, so do I, and he's playing Halo 3 beta, and he goes, like somebody's in the bubble shoe, he's trying to shoot, and goes, what the F is this?
How did you use the bubble shield? Why can't I reload?
Yeah. Yeah, so... All right, so... Yeah, you didn't answer the question.
Oh, yeah, it's my fault. I didn't get a chance to go too far in the map editor since it scares me. But okay. I do notice a few things different are like the centralized launcher to run Sapien, Guerrilla, and Halo 2. And then like a compiler and everything is basically built into the launcher. But I didn't get a chance to check out Sapien and Guerrilla now.
Okay.
Can you compare the Halo 1 map editor versus the Halo 2 map editor? Like, why is it you found this one intimidating in particular? I understand you work with the Halo 1 with a little bit, at least enough to kind of get your feet wet on both of them. And how does that compare?
Ran the program.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're not a map editor, and we don't, you know, with 48 games going on and only a few with people in them, we don't expect to find the one person that is actually editing maps. You know, so, but, you know, you've at least got your feet wet with it. And, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, how it compares to Halo 1. You know, do you get already, like, assets to be able to put in the game from Halo 2? Like, can you just place rocks here and there? You know, bridges, whatever? How does it work?
These rocks look nice.
They seem to have a easy
place
to use.
Rocks.
If you know what you're working with, it looks so easy, and I feel like such a dork for not knowing it. It's like controls. Select this from a drop box and click add. But I don't know what controls it means.
Oh, man. So I'm going to build a map with nothing but rocks.
There's even a thing that says skies, and rock I'm level. Such a dork, I don't know what that is.
Rockland.
You must pass through
like
solid druggy. Rock to win the game.
You must get a pick hammer and break your way through this gigantic ding, rock.
Ding, ding.
Damn it! I almost had it.
Respawn in 5, 4, 3.
2. You spawned in the rock.
Respawn again.
Put the spawn.
Who the hell made this dumb map?
This map sucks, man. I gotta sit here and point forever.
It's like put the spawn spot in space, so like he just falls to his death every time.
Oh.
It's like Far Cry, man.
That would be nice. All right, so
It's tricky.
Definitely, it's definitely not like Tony Hawk or Far Cry where you just press A to put a tree there. Like,
okay.
It does lurk like a program like the Bungie would use, because it kind of is. But it doesn't look like I would have a person would have that hard of time learning it.
Okay.
All right, cool. So, all right. Well, somebody take Killzilla.
Yeah. He says, how is the Halo 2 Vista editing kit, which we just talked about. He also says, what's included? Like, can you use a third-party 3D Studio Max, or does it come with one? I guess he's talking about, does it come with some kind of 3D editor?
3D modeler.
Which I'm sure it doesn't.
It doesn't come with 3D Studio, but it does come with Sapien and Gorilla, which do everything for making your maps now. By the way, since they introduced the brutes in Halo 2, they changed the program icon of Gorilla to a brute. So, just noticed that.
Cool.
I'm happy.
Okay.
Is the customization as deep as Halo CE? No, but it is still a map editor. It still works. It's still great.
I'm going to go down a little bit to LC Trojan 23. He says, I would like to just ask the special guest if Halo 2 Vista equals or exceeds Halo 2 for the Xbox, and if he has played any mods, and if he could get into details, which he already did. He goes, P.S. Funny Gamer Tag, Granny's Triceps, below the biceps, for those who don't know the human anatomy.
Nice.
Granny's Triceps, that must look flabby.
You got beat down by Granny's Triceps. Ow.
Granny's triceps assassinated you.
Neck meat. Somebody got a neck meat.
You got hit the neck meat by Granny's triceps.
Yeah, that'd be an awesome wrestling tag team.
Yeah.
Neck meat.
Neck meat and Granny's triceps.
You're in triceps.
The finishing move would be the tricep tumble and the neck meat sweat spit.
The granny's walker.
Neck meat sweat spit. Oh.
I'm gonna go make
I
a
spit on
alive.
You and then I sweat from my tricep and you just fall over and you get pinned.
All I gotta do is flex. But I am.
Nice.
Granny looks like freaking Joe Weider when in his prime, you know?
Weider, nice.
24-inch biceps. Woo-hoo. So, yeah, how would you compare Halo 2 Vista to the Halo Xbox edition? Halo 2 Xbox edition.
It's the same game in essence, but if you're looking for eye candy, which Halo players usually are, and you have a good graphics card, which Halo players usually don't,
no.
It looks great. I mean, I wanted to hug Sergeant Johnson when like I had the one frame of him before my computer crashed. And then I had to set it down to. They also took up the complexion.
He knows what the ladies like, not what the Logan's
Johnson,
like.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I want to hug you, Sergeant Johnson. I love you.
All anti-aliased and nice. By the way, they simplified
real-time lighting.
They simplified how everything works when you're like in Halo PC. It's like you want to turn down the textures or the particles. What's the particles? In Halo 2 Vista, it's just do you want to go on low, medium, or high graphic detail?
Yeah.
And then like for anti-aliasing is like the one complex part, but they kind of make a joke about it. Performance versus Jaggies, the epic struggle.
I remember I had Halo PC And according to the box, I had a system that I can play, you know, and with everything on.
Stupid box.
And no matter what I did, what settings, I had to, like, put it at freaking BIOS graphic settings because, man, I was like, you know what? I'll stick with the Xbox version. I mean,
I don't know what happened when I tried to install it on my laptop that one time. I put Halo PC on my laptop, and Master Chief, apparently either textures didn't load or something was wrong with Master Chief, but all my hands ever were a black spot on the screen. I'm like, what am I doing?
He had a big 8-bit version of Master Chief.
It's like you punch somebody, it's like...
He had just two giant pixels for hands.
Back in the day, you know, I had to walk 5 miles through the white pixels.
So, hey, we got another question from Commander Raikou asking basically if there's any mods, patches, or glitches in Halo 2 Vista. Have you noticed any of that, like BXR or any of that stuff, RRX?
I haven't, but I did notice some of the glitches that I use are still there. I didn't try super jumping or BXR, and shame on you if you did. But I'd like to know, because I would use that. There is a patch for the .ass error, but I don't think it fixed any. They figured if people wanted Halo 2 for the Xbox, why screw up what they loved on it?
Mm-hmm. Well, is it worth the money, in your opinion? Well, out there and...
when I looked at it as buying Halo 2 Legendary Edition. I would still be under $100, and I'd have two games, but... It's do you want to play the same game again for those achievement points and maybe like a multiplayer fun time, which is what you're getting anyway on the Xbox if you have Live.
Yeah.
PC gamers might like it because they don't have to pay the annual fee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's funny. Some people say achievements are overrated, that it's really nothing that people pay attention
to. You get the whole Live system, though.
But
like, I was chatting...
Achievements do go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Jive.
What's that?
I was trying to say something, and every time I started, he would start again.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I won't do it again.
It's okay.
So, you know, like I was saying... Oh, sorry.
Nice.
Yeah. Good, dude. Good.
I forgot.
Oh, nice. Okay, see how it works.
All right, so Logan, now that we're going to wrap this thing up, why don't you give us a brief summary of what you feel about Halo 2 Vista?
I feel it's a game to recommend to people that are A, PC gamers who love Halo, and B, people who want to see Halo 2 the best it can be, or just maybe want to get that achievement point because they played so much Halo 2. But I don't know if it's a personal decision. $50 for the same thing again, but achievement points and eye candy.
Hmm.
The eye candy, for me, was worth it.
Yeah, is it a significant upgrade?
Well, monitors are basically HD nowadays. Sometimes they're not widescreen, but they're that. And they made every texture in the game bigger, so it does look visibly better.
Okay. Cool.
Good to know. Well, hey, before we wrap it up, we got a bunch of great interviews coming up here. I was at the Tie the Leader land recently for TieTheLeader.com, which is a Halo community, and got to talk to some people about kind of how they run things, what goes on kind of behind the scenes, and also got to talk to some people from Too Old to Play and from Halo Unyielding. So, interesting look into the Halo community here. Check it out.
Hey, Fumo Jive here with
Zerkstage.
Welcome, man. Hey, tell us a little bit about what you do in the Halo community and you know, a little bit about your community in general.
Well, I am a community leader for Tide the Leader and the editor of the Tide the Leader blog. It's been around for a couple of years. The whole aim is to bring good gamers together for good games and try to just foster an environment where everybody can get along and enjoy their shared pastime.
Outstanding, man. And here we are at the Tide the Leader land. How many years is this going now?
Well, you know, to say that this is an official Tide the Leader land, I guess this is about maybe the third or fourth. You know, a lot of different members of the Tide the Leader community will hold down a base camp in their own locality, and they'll make a LAN happen. We've had them in Nashville, Lexington, Kentucky. We've had them in Chicago. We've done them in Utah a couple times, and we have an overlord down here in Satellite Beach, Florida, so he's brought us to the Atlantic coast for our first beach ever LAN.
Very cool. Yeah, we're right here on the beach out here in sunny Melbourne in Florida. Dude, it's awesome out here, definitely on the East Coast. And so that's cool. It's not necessarily an annual thing. You guys get together all the time and do LANs, I guess.
Yeah, we do. It's really, you know, it's a matter of attention span and resources. You know, we need somebody to kind of decide to produce that event in their own place. And, you know, they'll be responsible for finding the right venue, you know, gathering together cash from people in the community so we can reserve some space and, you know, rent whatever equipment we might need. And, you know, it's a lot of effort, but, you know, in the end, the payoff is considerable because we all get together and, you know, get to extend some of those friendships beyond, you know, Xbox Live or our virtual interactions and, you know, form some lasting face-to-face friendships.
Outstanding. Hey, speaking of LANs, this is kind of on the spot, but I know a lot of people that have tried to set up LANs for different communities and have failed in some way or another. Can you kind of give any pointers on good ways to successfully set up a LAN and make it happen?
You know, LANs are definitely a hard thing to produce because there really is no perfect model for how a LAN should work. The two biggest problems are always space and equipment. Where are you going to do that LAN, and how are you going to gather together everything you need? You know, there's always that moment of terror when you're trying to network your projectors and you're trying to make all the boxes work together. You know, really, everyone that comes to a LAN kind of has to bring some of their own equipment. You know, it's kind of a, you know, a button suit business model where everybody brings something and they all kind of throw it into the mix. I think, you know, getting some money up front, getting people to enroll and buy a ticket in a LAN is something that's worked well for us because then we have the funds that we need to, you know, buy that last minute switch, you know, buy that last minute hub or, you know, rent this projection screen that we're using to play the Halo 3 beta. You know, it's like throwing your own event, and you know you should approach it with as much organization and as much seriousness as you can, just to, you know, sort of ensure that quality experience for all the people who want to come.
Sounds great, man. Well, this is turning out fantastic so far. I'm really enjoying it. I see we got a bunch of games going here. What have you played so far?
Well, we're sitting in front of a Halo 3 beta test station. It's a little difficult for us to walk away from Halo 3 now. We've all got our invitations to the test phase, so we're projecting that on a screen about the size of a wall. Looks like a big Gears of War tournament just finished, and of course we'll be dusting off Halo 2 later on during the weekend, and we'll have a tournament with some prizes, and you know, there's been some Guitar Hero going on. I personally do not play Guitar Hero, and I disavow it completely, but you know, it's hip with the kids, and the ladies love it, so we let them rock the house. It provides us our own little soundtrack too, so it's nice for the background.
Very cool. Yeah, that's my first chance to be able to play Guitar Hero, man. That's a fun game, definitely. Hey, speaking of Halo 3 beta, we were talking about just a minute ago. What kind of things get you most excited about Halo 3 with the beta, or just, you know, with the game in general, seeing a lot of the different stuff with it? What gets you most turned on about the game?
You know, I think, God, what the most interesting thing about the Halo 3 beta could be an entire interview in and of itself. Really, I like the fact that the matchmaking system is where it was for Halo 2. I like the fact that we can pull our own people into our lobbies and create our own teams and then go out and meet other people who may or may not be formed up into their own teams. We're sort of aware of the fact that we have a good solid team coming into the Halo 3 beta and into Halo 3 when it launches. People would tell us that gives us an unfair advantage, but we've worked at it, maybe as much as someone else has worked at, you know, perfecting their sniping skills. My sniper skills are far from perfect and will always be far from perfect, but my ability to bring people together to form up a good team is what I'm really most interested in, and that's why the gunslingers love to play together. That's why we got on airplanes to come down to Florida. And, you know, Bungie has built games that enable us to build teams and coordinate teams and play games as teams. While we dabble in Gears of War or other titles like that, we've really never found the same type of camaraderie playing a game together as a unit. As far as the game itself and what they've built, you know, I love driving the Warthog. Anybody who plays with me or games with me often knows that about me. The thing is a beast, and I can't stay away from it. I adore it. Even though there's a million ways to counter it, it's the first thing I always run to. And, you know, can't wait until September 25th, and, you know, we're all going to be in line at midnight. So
definitely, man. We all are. Hey, you were mentioning about the community and the thing you got going. just as a group with Tide the Leader, you guys are a real tight team. Can you give some advice to people that are wanting to strengthen their communities or to, you know, build their own Halo community as far as, like, you know, how to keep it cohesive, how to keep it together, and just how to you know, get the right people together to do that?
You know, I think respect is the most important component of any team. There are going to be people on your team who are, you know, not as good as other people on the team. But, you know, working with those people and helping them to develop their skills or their communication, really. Out of respect comes communication, comes trust, comes, you know, all of the things that will make the weakest link in the chain a little bit stronger. We set up an interactive forum where all of our team members can get together. They can discuss offense. They can discuss defense. They can discuss vehicular strategies. We give the snipers a place to hang out, but really no one tells a sniper what to do, right? I think, you know, communication is the best thing that Halo on Xbox Live enables. You know, it's that team chat. It's that ability to work together and have a common goal and, you know, work together to improvise and adapt when the game doesn't go the way you want it to, and it never really does. You know, we try, the overlords at Tide the Leader try to treat every single gunslinger like one of our clients. We're there to ensure that they have a good experience. And if people aren't having fun gaming at Tide the Leader, they're supposed to come and talk to us first and foremost about that. We take that very seriously. So if being an overlord is an ego trip for somebody, you're not going to get paid very good dividends out of that. You know, you have to think of your team as somebody that you're providing a service for, because they can go and they can play on anyone else's team that they want to. If they're old enough and if they're cool enough, they can come and they can apply and be a member of our team. And you're competing with that if you want to start your own gaming community. So, you know, you have to think of these people as people that you're catering to instead of the other way around. That's what's worked for us.
Very cool. Good advice. You know, whether it be for a large community that people are trying to set up or strengthen, or whether it be for even a four-person team or a clan, you know, talking about being able to strengthen a community and get together. And I think the Halo 3 goes a long way towards that as well, with a lot of the additions to, you know, being able to just being able to party up, being able to, you know, work with your friends more easily, and really being requiring a lot more teamwork, I think, even more so than Halo 2. What do you think about that?
You know, I think Halo 3 does a great job of building on the foundation that Halo 2 created for teamwork. As far as whether or not we get a clan system for Halo 3, we're all kind of holding our breath for that announcement, that little tidbit of news. We like having that extra friends list. We use it to kind of coordinate who we're playing with, and also just to kind of serve as a public record for who is on our team, you know, and who we should be held accountable for, you know, and how they're behaving when they're playing online. I really don't know what else Halo 3 will be doing. You know, we can always go start a Bungie group on the Bungie website if we don't have our clan list. That kind of remains to be seen. I will say that the you know, the chat features on Halo 3 sound great. I can hear my teammates a lot better than I ever could. And that's really helped us work together in the beta to eke out some pretty good victories that we wouldn't have had otherwise. I wouldn't be playing as much video games as I did if I didn't feel like it was a social pastime. And as long as Bungie continues to cater to that, they'll be my favorite development house.
Outstanding. Well, Zerchich, thanks a lot. And where can we find the site again?
It's at TideTheLeader.com. Blog.TideTheLeader.com is where you can read editorials by myself. Gunslingers.TideTheLeader.com is where you can learn about our clan. And Forum.TideTheLeader.com is where you can stop by and tell us what you have to say.
Sweet. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, have a good time.
All right, Fumo Jive here, and I'm here with
TTL Ballistic.
All right, welcome, man. Hey, tell me a little bit about what you do in the Halo community, specifically with Tide the Leader.
All right, well, I am the captain of Tide the Leader's Roadkill Squadron. We are the vehicular managers. We, if you ever need a vehicle destroyed or you utilized in the middle of the game, you come to the boys in blue, the Roadkill Squadron. We take care of that.
Very cool. So there's, like, different squadrons within Tide the Leader?
Yes, we have four squadrons. There's a strike team, their offense. There's the honor guard, their defense. There's the sharpshooters that do the sniping. And then there's the roadkill squadron. We deal with all the vehicles.
Very cool. And how does this work then? Do you guys have this, like, separated on the forums? Do you have it set up with different groups that you play during competitive play?
Yeah, we do. We actually, in the forums, we all have our own private boards, kind of like our own little clubhouse. We can talk about all the cool little, all the best splatters we've ever had, and the snipers can talk about their best moments and all those different things like that. And then we strategize strategize, we plan, we make sure we work really well with all the other squads, keep open communication with everybody so we can utilize everything in the game instead of just working on one thing at a time.
So this is mostly in competitive games where you have it set up beforehand, right? Like you get a few people from this squad, a few people from that squad, and then you all work together in practice?
Yeah, that is a huge thing for our challenges, absolutely. We want to make sure we have a good mix of all the four squads into one challenge. But it's also really good since all of our squads are color-coded, like the Roadkill Squadron all wears blue, when we go into just a big team battle and when we're loading up and instead of like everybody's arguing over what they want to do, you see somebody wearing blue and you know they're going to be taking the Warthog and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to ask anybody. You don't have to call it out, really, because you know what they're going to be doing.
Very cool. And generally, do you have kind of one or two people that are also like the leaders that are calling out what to do and or anything like that? Or is someone kind of keeping track of what everybody's doing? Or is everybody just kind of working together as kind of a team all at the same time?
Well, that kind of that varies game to game. Some people really take charge. Some people don't. It's just really hard to get everything together sometimes, but that is the ultimate goal, yes, is somebody managing it. It's also a nice thing about having all the squads, is you don't need one person or two people to take care of everything, because you know that one squad is going to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. So you don't have to deal with worrying about the offense, because you know the strike team's taking care of it.
Very cool, man. Cut that out. Roadkill Squadron, awesome. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
I'm Fumo Jive here, and I'm here with...
This is TTL Lock.
All right, welcome, man. Hey, tell me a little bit about what you do at Tide Leader.
Well, I came in about August last year, and I'm with a few others. We're a great team. We set up the forums and kind of manage people coming in and out, and got a great group of challenge captains that, try to get the community and tie us with other groups that are playing Halo, the beta, and all that. And it's really nice because you really get to meet all sorts of new people. And I'm really just on the forums all day trying to help people coming in, coming out, answering questions.
Sweet. What kind of stuff do you do on the forums to help people out? How do you work on the forums to really create a solid community on the forums?
Well, most of the time, new people coming in, I'll usually send them a PM, and if they have any questions, there's like five or six comp staffers here. A lot of times you can just redirect them to different threads or, try to get them involved in different groups. If you see they're interested in something, you can say, look, there's two or three people that do this, why don't you contact them? Here's their gamer tag, come find them, and just you can get involved. Just try to bring everybody in, because the more people gaming, this is the better things work out. If you don't focus on all the drama, everything going on, so.
So you're trying to find a place for people to get involved in pretty much everywhere they come in.
Exactly. If people are doing something, it pretty much avoids most of the conflicts that you'll have on a typical online forum. So it's generally pretty clear of drama and,
Outstanding, man. Sounds good. So you guys got a pretty rocking forum set up then, huh?
It's not bad. We have a lot registered, but, there's really a lot of traffic coming in. I think on any given day we have about 40 to 50 people online, so it's pretty busy.
What kind of advice would you give to people that are trying to, maybe set up a forum community going on to complement their Halo community or to just keep things going smoothly?
What I would basically do, it's not good when you have just one or two people up controlling everything. It's really good to use the people you have and to trust them and to, empower anyone you can, because everyone wants to help out any way you can. Find out what people want to do, find out what they're good at, and use that, and it builds the strength, because, we have people that are just, you spread it out, and we have people doing everything, and it just ties in together. And that would be the best thing of advice I would give.
So instead of making it a one or two man show, kind of spread out the responsibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would delegate as much responsibility as you could.
Sounds great. Well, Locke, thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Fumo Jive here with
Sunburn Goose.
Welcome, man. Hey, tell me a little bit about Tool to Play and what you do there.
Tool to Play is a collection of clans that like to play games online, but the minimum requirement is you have to be over 25.
Very cool. So it's all older gamers.
Definitely. We like to... you can imagine like a Citadel where it's just us having good times and we don't have to deal with timmies coming by and ruin our days.
So what kind of games do you guys play?
It's going to be a lot of 360 games. It's going to be Halo, Call of Duty, Gears. It's pretty much where we stick to. There's some PC gamers. huge WoW area. Large portion of the site's dedicated to WoW. I was addicted, so I got to 40 and quit. You know, so you got to be careful. But yeah, WoW's got a big presence.
All right, former WoW members anonymous here.
I know. I gave it up. Yeah. My wife helped.
Yeah, I tell my wife I'm not allowed to play, man. Yeah. So what do you do over at Tool to Play?
Well, I was the overlord of the Wheeze and Geezers, the kind of leading custom casual Halo players on Tool to Play. I lost my overlordship to a hog race. So, you know, we have good times, we take it lighthearted, and that's just what I do. Now I'm just kind of hanging out. I'm a staff member again, and I try to be an ambassador. I go all over the place with my job, and I like to meet Tool to Players. I look them up online and give them all a call and see who calls me back, you know, so that's what I do.
So Tool to Play has lands and stuff too, right?
Definitely. We have a land in August. This will be our third land we'll be having. Last year we had at least 50 people, or maybe 75. I can't remember. I was drinking a lot. But we have many TV stations. It's in Chicago. It's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of casual good times. We have one tournament, as far as I know, for Halo 2. But I think we're going to be expanding that this year.
Nice. So Halo 2, Gears of War, lots of different competitive games in general. Do you guys play lots of custom, like, casual games as well?
Okay, so definitely. At the LAN last year, people brought custom card games, tabletop card games. We had a huge WoW table set up, so people were just carrying people through some of the quests. We had Chrome Hounds at the time last year. We had some, and just a lot of Halo 2. This year, we're looking forward to some Wii action. It's a big Wii.
You guys geeking out on Dungeons & Dragons, too?
I don't know about that, but you can just see that there's people that bring a lot of themselves to this. I mean, we got people who do, like, drawings, so they bring their tablets and do custom drawings for people. I mean, it's what's really cool about the breadth of Tool to Play is everyone's going to bring a little bit of themselves, whether it's they bring LAN equipment and drop cable, or someone's going to be bringing a lot of drinks, or gaming systems. Like, I bring Ataris with me, so 8-bit gaming goodness is always, you know, represented. That's what we do.
You love your Atari, man.
I love my Atari. It's what I grew up on. It's what got me started.
Sweet. So I understand Tool to Play is a podcast as well, right?
There is a podcast that I don't know how regular it is, but yeah, Dude I Rock, Ebola, and Custom. I mean, guests come on. We got a phone line you can call and leave messages. We'll answer the messages. Yeah.
Very cool. And they have a pretty rocking website over there, tooltoplay.com.
Yeah, so it's been growing. I think we just released a new version of the website, last month. It has a lot of Halo integration into the site, a lot of Xbox Live integration to the site. We always see who's online when we look at the forums. It's got a news portion to the site. It has a blog portion to the site, forums. It has custom clan pages on the site, so if you're a clan on Tool to Play, you have your own location with your own forum access. So we're definitely catering to creating groups of people inside the site, but then there's also this global part of Tool to Play. So you can kind of shell yourself in and focus on your clan or participate in the community. And I think there's at least 20 clans, not just Halo 2 clans, but guilds for WoW or all those other RPG out there, Guild Wars, you know, just many collections.
All right, so how do you enforce the 25-year-old thing, and does that make, like, significant difference in your community?
So that's one of the favorite parts of the site, is anybody can join. It's an honor system. But when we find a Timmy, we're all on it. We just dogpile that guy, because, you know, some of the moderators will go out and look on MySpace. And, you know, I mean, not that they're, like, hunting every person out, but it's just something they casually do. If they are suspicious about someone, we'll investigate it. Just because we like to keep our community clean. We like to have 25-year-olds and older. We have people that wait until they're 25. They want to join. We have friends we want to join. You got to wait till you're 25. We had people we kicked out, and when they became 25, rejoined. You know, I mean, that's how we do it, and that's how we enforce it, and it really does make a difference, because at the end of the day, a lot of us have jobs. We have wives. We have kids. We have 30 minutes of gaming we can probably play today, and I don't want to deal with the massive people out there. I just want to have a good time, and that's what Tool to Play gives us.
So the 25 and older really brings a level of maturity that's not necessarily saying people that are younger than that are always immature, but that's you know, you have a higher chance of having more mature people that treat things, you know, don't have to have an argument about every little thing and stuff.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. So everybody who's 25 and older, they must be really mature, and that's so not true. I mean, we got guys on there that are just laughing it up, being crazy. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger shows up all the time when we get in the match the matchmaking. But yeah, everybody can sympathize. We understand where we are in life, and that's kind of the bond that like keeps us all through, and that makes the game fun when we're inside of a lobby or if we're in a quest. I mean, we all understand. So if I got to drop out or I got to quit, it's okay.
So it's not so much the maturity level as it is the commonality between people that they're all in the same stage of life, kind of thing, generally.
Exactly. It's instant. Because you join the site, we all know you're 25 and older. There's no forming that bond. We just know this part.
Outstanding, man. Hey, where can people find more information about Tool to Play?
At tooltoplay.com.
And that's number two, O-L-D, number two, P-L-A-Y.com. Very cool. All right, man. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, it's Fumo Jive, and I'm here with
TTL Suicide.
Right on, man. Hey, can you tell us a little bit about how you got into the Halo community and kind of what you do?
Well, I saw Deech put out a call to arms when the Tide Leader clan was forming, and I put in my application, and after a few games, he invited me in, and now I'm in charge of personnel and recruiting at TTL.
Very cool. So there's kind of an application process to get into Tide the Leader.
Yeah, we like to screen people just to make sure that they fit the atmosphere that we have going at Tide the Leader, and you know, they just fit the community.
Very cool. Sounds good. So we're here playing lots of Halo 3 and other games. What kind of games have you been playing so far here at the LAN?
Mainly Halo 2 custom games, and then we have the beta going at all times. And it's fun to pop on that every now and then.
Sweet. Sounds good. Hey, tell us a little bit about some of the things you're most excited about with Halo 3.
I love all the new vehicles. Driving around is one of the best things to do in Halo 3 matchmaking. So I can't wait to see what the Goshawk's going to look like if the Chainhog is this much more powerful.
Yeah, I heard actually that the Goss may be able to detach from some of the standalone weapons as far as like on a tripod. Did you hear anything about that?
I haven't heard about that, but that sounds very impressive because I love the turrets. They're real fun. The missile pod's great.
Sweet. What do you think about the new lock-on capability, the missile pod and everything, and then the separation between that as far as laser, just the differentiation between how the vehicle counters are handled?
I like it because it makes it, there's a lot more stuff that can go on when you get in a vehicle, and it's not just, you know, you got to watch out for the rocket launcher. Now you got like six different weapons that can stop you really quick, so it's real cool to see all that.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, well, Fumo Jive here with
Quick Thinker.
All right, welcome, man. Tell me what you do with Halo Unyielding in that business.
Well, Halo Unyielding is basically a Halo machinima sort of melded with 3D animation. We got some 3D skins and some textures, and we put them together to make them look like Pillar of Autumn and Amber Clad, and some original ships that we created ourselves, kind of melded it together with some in-game photographs and imagery, and kind of created a story around that. The basic philosophy of Halo Unyielding, which is created by Laird, was that he wanted to let Bungie know that if a bunch of schmucks with some basic hardware could create some pretty interesting 3D space battles, that Bungie should give us a little more in the next Halo game.
Very cool, man. I understand Halo Unyielding 1 has come out, and you're working on a sequel, right? Or you and Laird are.
Right. Halo Unyielding 1 is available at www.halounyielding.com, and you can see that. Additionally, there's a Halo Unyielding 2 trailer there, which will give you some idea of what's to come in Halo Unyielding Part 2. But essentially, we've taken what was a very minor sort of story in Halo Unyielding Part 1 that it didn't really have much to say. It was just there so we could show what we could do, and moved into Halo Unyielding Part 2, which is going to explain the backstory that took place in Part 1 and have a much more complex narrative than the first part. There'll be characters with names and people that you'll be able to identify with. We've got some very, very interesting on-the-ground ODST kind of stuff that's going to appear on Coagulation and some of the other familiar places. We've created several brand-new ships that don't really exist in the Halo universe, specifically for unyielding, and I think people will enjoy that. We've tried to keep these ships in the vein of the Halo universe, in that they're basically the same sort of art and the same sort of design. But so they should be familiar to people who view them, but they're not exactly going to be Bungie proprietary, you know, equipment there.
Very cool. So I understand you're working on the next version real heavy right now, and it's going to be out real shortly, right?
We actually debuted a very rough version at CanWest. Laird ran that whole thing, and he had some people from Red vs. Blue there.
What's CanWest?
CanWest was a Red vs. Blue or Rooster Teeth Productions event where folks from Red vs. Blue showed up, and they basically had like a fan event where they showed Machinima and some other things, and had some signing with the lady who plays Tex, and I think some of the other guys were there as well.
So you're working on, you had a rough showing there. You're working on a lot of additional work from that to really make it real polished, right?
Well, that's basically where we're at right now, is some of the final editing, polishing, and background music. A very nice lady named Elle Nay is doing our entire musical score. A guy named Tom is TM Riddle, or Paladin, is doing the entire editing process in various editing programs. And we showed a very, very rough version in CanWest, and right now we're focusing on getting it all together. I mean, all the assets are there at this point. It's just a matter of getting it together and get it packaged for a complete deal.
Awesome, man. Well, looking forward to seeing the final version there of Halo Unyielding 2.
Sometime in early June, early to mid-June, you should be able to get it at unyielding.com.
Sweet. Well, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Fumo Jive here with
DTS Wills.
All right, welcome, man. Hey, tell me a little bit about what you do at Tide Leader. I understand you guys run a foundation here.
That is correct. We do. We've got a foundation. It's called the Tide Leader Foundation for wounded veterans coming out of Iran and Afghanistan. And basically, it's a charitable organization that we put together that actually has money, that we send money to, like, these private organizations, like Azalea Charities and Freedom's Not Free, these different types of private charities. And we feel pretty confident that they're going to actually put the majority of the money toward the wounded veterans instead of some, like, government organization where there's a lot of overhead and a lot of the funds, maybe less than 50% of the funds will actually get to the wounded veterans. So we've chosen the private route, and it seems to be working out really well. We've just made our first donation to Azalea Charities, and that was pretty exciting. I mean, it's really cool to kind of see how, you know, people respond and how it's kind of taken off with very little effort on our part. You know, all we've done really is just kind of made an announcement and pointed people in the right direction, and people just, you know, from an altruistic standpoint, just went out there and just made the donation. It's really exciting to see that type of the response. So.
That's great, man. I just think it's really cool that Halo fans are getting together and making a charitable thing happen, you know, for people that really need it like this. It's outstanding.
Yeah, it's really cool. One of the things that we love is that the TTL has a lot of really good people in it. I mean, really charitable people, I guess you could say, but people who just, you know, are just happy, like to be around a lot of, you know, happy people and just nice people. You know, you don't have that many people. Well, we don't have any people in our clan. We make sure of that, who, you know, run around and just, you know, make the gaming experience bad. You know, we don't have that here, and that has kind of attracted like-minded individuals who, you know, want to have a positive gaming experience, and that's kind of what we have in our clan right now, and it's a really good thing. You know, it's just, you know, you are going to be, you know, it's like my mom said, you know, you want to find out what you're going to be like or what a person's like, look at their friends. And I'm really proud to say that, you know, this organization, I mean, if I'm anything like half of these people in here, man, hey, there's a smile on my face. So.
Very cool. Hey, tell me a little bit about, I understand that you were in the military in the past and that you went to seminary, right? Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, I was in the Navy for 8 years. I spent about one and a half years up at Washington, D.C. I did some time at the Secretary of Defense at the Pentagon. Then I was a SEAL for about 7 years. I was stationed in Virginia Beach at SEAL Team 2, and I was there for about 5 or 6 years. And I got out of the Navy, and then I went to school and ended up going to seminary. And after 8 years of school, after the military, got out, and you know, the rest is history. But anyway, we kind of used the Klan. We kind of used my background, and I've used my background to kind of get this going as far as the foundation and everything is concerned, because you know, I've got a few contacts.
All right, so yeah, the reason I asked that about, especially about your background in seminary, you know, we run a Bible study at Pod Tech called God Tech. Chucky J runs that over there, and you know, I just think it's really cool that as gamers and you know, as Christians or just as friendly people, you know, we can have a positive impact on people's lives. You know,
yeah, it's important to actually, you know, when you're engaged with people and you're interacting with people, especially online. You know, I mean, it's for us, it's kind of an, you know, if you treat people well, you know, treat people how you want to be treated. It goes back to the golden rule, and that's kind of what we try to do. You know, we don't get in there and we don't use rape and we don't, you know, talk a bunch of crap, and you know, we try to be respectful gamers. We try to make the gaming experience a very pleasant experience where people will actually come back and do it. You know, it's sad because I've spoken to too many people, and myself included, where I've been completely turned off by gaming because of some of the people I've met, especially on top, compounded by a bad day. You know, when you come in after a bad day and you get engaged with some of these people, they're just, you know, you just don't even want to do it anymore. And we try to stay really cognizant of the effect that you kind of have on people when you're playing them, because you don't know who you're playing. You don't know what kind of day this person's having. And, you know, when we play, you know, we play normally, but it's in such a manner that's respectful. And at least we try. I mean, we try. And it's very, you know, we find it a very important part of what we do.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Hey, man. Anytime. Thanks.
Right on. Thanks, Ty the Leader. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, great job. Good interview, awesome. For Mojo.
Oh, gracias. Well, thanks goes to them, man. They're really cool guys. They're, you know, they're a lot of fun to hang out with, and we just enjoy kind of. It was cool to meet some people in real life in the Halo, the kind of my Halo friends list, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Exactly, and that's, you know, it's come a long way where you can actually travel a certain, not that far away from home, and just meet a few people that you've only, you know, seen on the internet.
Yeah.
So, cool. I wish I could have been there, but, you know.
Well, hey, you had a cool thing going on, too, with the Gamerscore blog.
Yeah, right? So.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully next time.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's wrap it up here. Send in your comics, comments, etc. to PodTag your comments. Comics. Send your comics.
send your comics, please.
We need more weekly porridge.
Comics you could send in would be great. Your comments, etc. to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show, which there will be next week. More so.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Logan.
You can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO and leave a Halo-related message. We play these back regularly at the customs.
Are you mocking me?
What?
Are you mocking me?
No, I'm not a person that let me get on this show. And
this is Tony Soprano. Anyway.
Clown now? I'm funny? Is that it? I'm funny to you?
You think I'm funny here?
Okay, anyway, so I'm... Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com, and while you're there, check out the forums. There's a lot of buzz about Halo 3 and other stuff.
Yeah, thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site, contributing to our PayPal to help out with the hosting bill, which comes in every month, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us in iTunes. Hey, we couldn't do it without you guys.
And please make sure you guys go and check out the other podcasts that are associated with the GamerCast Network. GamerTag Radio, Uncle Gamer Radio, and GamerCast Network's very own video game show at videogameshow.org.
All very awesome podcasts.
Yes, sir, Bob, and pretty soon we'll be expanding. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. And thanks, Logan, for joining us. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you for letting me be here.
Yeah, and remember...
I want donuts and coffee. Every
week. Oh, wait, you were serious about I had to pay to get on?
Oh, absolutely, dude.
Pay donuts and coffee,
dude,
man.
Dude, if you have any love for your neck meat, you will be paying me a weekly salary.
You'll get the donuts in the PayPal account.
Don't make me punch your neck meat, man.
You don't want no neck meat problems.
Don't make me hurt your neck meat.
It sounds like a grunt. Sounds like a grunt trying to insult you. I'll get your neck meat off.
Oh, man. I gotta thank Camaro Guy from AchievementJunkies.com for just bringing that phrase up, and it's just one of the funniest ones I've heard in a long time, man.
Nice. Punch you in the neck meat. All right.
All right, cool.
Well, until next time, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
I'm no campaign.
Keep on fucking trunks.
Keep on cleaning your neck meat. And keep on sending us comics. Please.
Keep on going ape shoe.
Ape shoe.
There's only one thing left to say.
GamerCastNetwork.com